Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Hey, Rock Movers. Today's guest is the guest that I have been dying to get on this show. And that's because we serve together on the Strategic Advisor Board. She's a leader in every space. She is the founder of She Talks. She is the amazing and unstoppable Dr. Julie Ducharme. Julie is a dynamic keynote speaker. She inspires audiences to embrace their authenticity. She challenges limitations and she leads with a purpose. She helps individuals with over 20 years of experience starting 5 different businesses and leading them to levels of success in 6 and 7 figures. She's a captivating presenter. I've seen her speak. I've seen her teach. I've seen her lead. But most of all, I have seen her heart, and this woman is all heart. She will challenge you to dare to disagree so that you can embrace your authenticity and rise to the top from the ashes to become the rock moving champion that is unstoppable. So I'll tag all of the things in the post, but without further ado, I want to introduce my amazing friend and mentor and inspiration. Hey, Rock Movers, I told you she's amazing and she's here. I'm so excited. Dr. Julie Ducharme, thank you so much for being here with us on the Rock Movers.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I shared this on social. I don't know if you saw my post, but I've been following you for a while, and then I joined the Strategic Advisor Board, and then we've had a chance to meet in person and talk a couple times, and I've had the opportunity to listen to you speak, and I am just so blown away by several things, but just how absolutely just approachable, relatable, and sweet, kind, realistic you are. Because to me, you know, we have these perceptions of who we think people are going to be because they look like these celebrity rock stars. And yes, you are. Yes, she is. She's amazing. She's all those things. And she is just the most real person ever. So I'm so grateful to have you on here and to just have you in my world to learn from you, because I think you have such amazing insight on human behavior, business, and just how to stand out in the crowd and do you on purpose.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Cause I think that's just my goal, like to be me and be real and be authentic. And that was definitely a process. That wasn't always me, because we all kind of have to go through the burning fire process, I think, of to become who we want to come, you know, the best version of ourselves. And that's just the ultimate compliment to hear that from you, getting a chance for you to watch me and meet me and do that. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that was fun. We got to share Mexican food afterwards. She came to Texas, so we got to take her out here. And just learning more about your story is really inspiring to me also, as someone who has struggled with, and I think, I don't know if this is all women, or I assume it's not all women, but just to struggle with our own preconceived ideas of who we should be, should, keyword, and then who we get to be. And learning from your story really inspired me to just embrace mine with more courage. So I would love for you to share, you know, going back to our theme of rocks, what were that one big rock or big rocks that really catapulted you forward to just say, no more, I'm just going to be me, and this is how I want to live my life?
Yeah, great question. I think there's probably 2 points that I can think of in my life. And the first was when I was about around 18 years old and headed off to college. Grew up in a wonderful family, but we didn't have a lot of money to go to college. And so I'd gotten scholarship, and that was really like a dream come true for me. And I'd worked very, very hard to get there. I'd always been an AB student, and I was in a class, my first English class, got my first paper back, and it was a D. And as an athlete, you have to keep a certain GPA or you can't play. Mm-hmm. So right away, I was like, I'm going to go see that professor and figure out what I did wrong, and I'm going to make it right. You know, at 18, you're very impressionable, and mm-hmm. you think all these big professors and people, everything they say is important. I'm not saying it's not, but I think you do have to filter what you hear right. from people. And
especially when you're raised in a small town where mm-hmm. you're taught to respect and revere yeah. authority, right?
Absolutely.
We give them even more credit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, essentially the short story is that, you know, he told me I wasn't smart enough to be in college and I should drop out. And so impactful to me because this had been my dream. And so, you know, calling my mother, and of course she had such insight. She's like, he's an idiot, get a tutor. You know, I hadn't even thought about that. I'm bawling into my room. The world is ending. And my mom's like, you're fine. Right. And, and I did get a tutor, and it really wasn't as bad. And unfortunately, I don't even think that what he said to me wasn't really about me. You know, we learn a lot of times that people have pain and trauma in their life and they take it out uh-huh. on other people.
Right.
But when you talk about catapulting me, that was like a big thing where I started, and this is why I have like an 8-page resume, because I was like, oh, well, I'm competitive. So I was like, well, I'm going to show you I'm smart enough. Right. Mm-hmm. So I completed my bachelor's, and then I completed my master's, and then I completed my doctorate. And in between all of that, you know, I started teaching at the college when I was 23 years old. That is really young.
Really young.
But I fell into that in between playing pro sports and coming back and coaching. And before I knew it, they had shoved me in a classroom and I was teaching public speaking. And so I kept doing these, just reaching, right? I'm an overachiever. Right. So I'm like, what can I do next? Before I was a dean, and then I was a president of a college. But in the process of all of that, about 10 years after he had said that to me, I ran into him at like a yogurt shop, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, my arch nemesis, right? Which he wasn't, you know.
He probably never thought about it again, right?
Right, right. And but he remembered me, and he was like, hey, Julie, how are you doing? You know, and I had this like movie moment, like over the last 2 years, all this was flashing through my head. Like, how am I really doing? What am I going to say to this guy? And it was like, I was a professor at 23. I had my master's at 22. I had my doctor by the time I was 28. I was running schools. I had three, like all this was happening. And I had this moment of like, oh my gosh, like I've always been smart enough. I've always been good enough. But from that point, that 10 years, it was like all I was doing was just trying to prove to everyone else that I was good enough, I was smart enough. But really, it was me who was trying to figure that out. And so in that moment, that's really the moment that I kind of was like, okay, Julie, you can do this. Like, you can do this. And now you need to stop trying to be perfect Julie that the world wants, and you need to be Julie. And so that was a big catapult for me, aligned with I was moved into a very high level position at a very young age. And it was very toxic. And I like to say that was when I had about a mental breakdown when I was 30, because it was so toxic. And I had two toddlers, and I was trying to figure out, how do I be this big, huge person and fulfill all the expectations everyone has for me, but yet mm-hmm. still be a mother, still be a wife, still be all these things. And that was definitely my moment of like, you know what? Like, I can't be this for everyone else. What can I be for me? Like, what is truly me? And that was really the journey that started me on like, who am I? Like, how do I be the person that I want to be, that I have a passion for? Because I had achieved everything. You know, we have this conversation a lot, and I keep winning like these awards. And so I don't even know how I'm winning. I'm caring. Like, I'll get a thing like, hey, you just won an award. I'm like, what did you win an award for? And we laugh about it because, you know, I tell people my goal in life anymore is not to be competitive and win awards. I had that part of my life, and it's fine and it's great. But really, my authentic self was becoming a servant leader. I found fulfillment in serving people instead of me serving myself. And in turn, that opened the door for so many other opportunities. And like you said, you know, when I speak, I'm really just sharing my heart. You know, I'm sharing my heart from my experiences. I'm sharing my heart from business of 23 years. And I look at this and I think, if I can leave a legacy for women, if my daughter can have a group of women who could surround her, which I didn't have that. To me, that's worth so much more than everything else that happens. And I when I became a servant leader about 10 years ago, it kind of just shifted everything for me. Like, it allowed me to really embrace who I was. And for me, that was terrifying because I felt that I had to be perfect Julie, the perfect athlete, the perfect mother. I mean, do we see these commercials where the houses are totally like they're
right.
perfectly white? The kids don't have a spot on them. They're in this nice outfit. The women's bodies are perfect, you know? And so for me, embracing my authentic self was really letting go of all of that and just being able to be me. You know, I love wearing bright colors. You know that. You saw that at the event. But I, at a time, it was black suits and hair in a bun. You know, I mean, here's the thing. It's not perfect. I still have mornings where I wake up and I look at my body and I'm like, that's not the same as when it was 23. You know, I have
moments. That's right.
Right. I have moments where I'm totally insecure. I still get nervous when I get on stages. I mean, I've spoke on stages with several thousands of people and I still get nervous for that because I still think sometimes, what are they going to think about me if I'm really honest about who I am? So, I mean, that's kind of been
that just makes you human though.
Yeah. Yeah. But we get a lot of pressure not to be human, right? Like, especially when you're playing sports are playing at a high level. I hear this a lot from women who are Fortune 500 CEOs and top athletes and top performers is that there's an expectation. And I think I remember this the other day. So Julia Roberts took a picture with her niece or something. They were playing some card game or something and posted it, you know, having fun with my niece. And you know what everyone responded was how bad they thought Julia Roberts looked in that picture. Because she was just hanging out with her hair in a ponytail with her niece and people criticized her for how she looked in that moment, right? And so when you're in those positions, it's difficult, you know, to like, you're fine. And let me just tell you, Karen, I get emails every day of people who don't like me or don't like events. I get nasty emails from people. I get stuff from people who go, you look stupid in that picture. I mean, it's, you would think, why do you get that? But I do. But I'm thankful that I've built a network of women who truly like love and embrace, and we're building that sisterhood because it makes a difference. You know, like I could call you up and be like, Karen, I just had three people cuss me out today.
And I'd be like, screw them. They're idiots. You have triggered right. something in them and they are seeing something in you that they don't feel like they can have.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But those are kind of moments in my life that when you talk about the rocks that stood yeah. there and kind of held me back. And then once I was able to get around those, and I always tell people this, you know, I can't give you one person who stopped me. The only person who really stopped me was me when I had moments of insecurity or, you know, when I had moments that I just felt like, how do I get out of this? How do I move forward? And I think those will continue to happen throughout life because life is life and it happens. Yeah. But you know, those for me were the life-changing moments where I had that major epiphany of like, okay, like if I'm going to be me, got to be me. And I got to drop this whole facade of that. So those were kind of some of the things that I experienced.
Oh my gosh, I haven't walked in those shoes, right? Just like we all have our own path. But everything you said, I can so relate to. And I know, you know, going from financial advisory world to coaching world, there has been this huge transition of my mindset in prioritizing what do I really want my personal legacy to be, not what others think is successful, not what others think I should do. But for someone that's listening to this and they're in the weeds and they're stuck in this comparison of, you know, I don't look like I think I should, or what my mom thinks I should look like, or my success isn't the way my best friends or my, you know, college peers or my family. And so they're still trying to find their own voice. They're still trying to find their way through this. Was there one practice or one habit, or what would you suggest they do to begin defining who they are, what they stand for? Because yeah. I know I kind of go through some practices with my clients, but I'd love to hear your insights on what was impactful for you or what you advise others to do today.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great, great question and thought.
Because it's easy to say, just do it, right?
Yeah.
Just shift your mindset. You have that epiphany.
Yeah.
But that's really harder to do when you're so in the jar and you can't see the directions on the outside of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I just said to someone the other day, I was giving some advice and I said, it's easy for me to say this right now. It's not going to be easy for you to do. As an athlete, for me, the reason I mentioned that is mindset was a really big, important part of being an athlete.
Yeah,
I had to step on the course and I couldn't, you just can't have a bad day or you can't get so into your head that you can't get out of it because the team is relying on you and that's your job. And I knew if I didn't do my job, nobody else could do their job. So mindset, I think, is really impactful. And when you are thinking about mindset, the more negative you are, the more negative the outcome is going to be. For me, I do things obviously like meditation, which focuses on focusing on the positive things in my life. But I also do a gratitude journal every day. And that was a real game changer for me because I did 100 days of gratitude every day. I wrote down 5 things. And I'll tell you that you start searching for things that first you're like, thanks for my kids, thanks for my family, you know, like easy. And then you start digging deeper, like, well, I'm so grateful that I'm healthy. I'm grateful that this deal went through today. And before you know, you start realizing that you have so many great things happening in your life that's really tough, difficult to have a negative mindset, even in the tough times, right? Because you can say, oh, I had a terrible business day, but you know what? I got my health. And that person over there doesn't have it. So mindset, I feel, is really critical. And I teach this a lot, is you have to shift it, right? I knew someone who actually took a positive, like, a class on how to be positive because they have family members that were not positive.
Negative.
Yeah. Right. And if you hang around that, the other thing, the second part is, so mindset is important. Who you surround yourself is important with, right? If you surround yourself with toxicity, negative people, even people, I say this, like people who are okay with mediocrity, that's a struggle for me because I don't want mediocrity. I want to play up here. Right. And that could mean a variety of things. So the people you surround yourself with, your mindset. And then for me, it's really kind of like grit and thick skin, because people are going to, the better you get at something, the more popular you get at something, the more people are going to try and put you down. As I mentioned, I get negative emails and I have a team that just goes to social media and deletes negative stuff. And I just don't even read it. Right. Because you're like, you know, what's the issue here? But as you got to have some thick skin, right? Like now it is okay. I've had my days where I'm like, today is my pity day. I'm going to pity myself today, but then tomorrow I've got to move forward. And so, you know, those three things have been key for me to keep going is my mindset, the people I surround myself with, and my thick skin, right? Because the way the world is today, someone's going to tell you something that you don't like, right? And there's a difference between what I like to say, you know, good critical feedback. When someone's giving you good feedback, that's good. So I'm not saying to ignore that. I'm saying ignoring, you know, the negative things that are out there or what's said to you. Because if you look at any barrier breaker, any person who's changed the world, how many people were naysayers, right? I mean, you know, we can only be as good as we allow ourselves to be. So if you want to be the best, go be the best, right? But only the best can do it. If you meet the best, they'll tell you about their mindset and what they have to do. I just gave a lesson to my daughter. She's trying to learn how to do a new thing and she was upset. She's like, I can't get a mom. I go, you've been doing that for about 5 minutes. You're going to need to do it a lot longer than 5 minutes. But mom, I can't do it. Yes, you can. And I said, the best spend hours and hours and thousands of hours. In sports, I spent thousands of hours mastering it. So for me, those are the areas that are really critical. I know it's different for other people, but that's where I felt my success has come from, like really harnessing that.
I love that. So I want to just kind of restate, because I like simplifying things for me. I really digest things in small bites. What I heard you say is with mindset and being around other people, it sounds like you also saw yourself as a part of something larger because of your team. This wasn't just about you. This was about those around you and the greater impact that the collective had together. So when it's just us and the consequences just affect us, it's easy for us to give up on us. But when what I do affects, you know, 5 people or 20 people, there's more accountability. And I think what I heard you say was that like that that's also something that can catapult you forward, because we win together feels a whole lot better than I just gave up on me and I lost because I'm a loser.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, I look at, you know, my children, what I do.
Yeah.
They're not only a sponge, but they rely on me. So what type of world am I building for them? You know, what am I building for, you know, my husband, and how are we a team? And then, and also, I think that especially in business, you know, we're part of a much larger community. We're part of helping our economy grow. We're part of hiring people. We're part of, you know, making change, and that all has to happen. And so I feel that if you have a God-given talent, which we each have one, we should be giving that back in some way, shape, and form. And it could be something as simple as being a babysitter who's helping children be raised so a parent can have a job, all the way up to, you know, big politicians or CEOs that make a difference. But people are counting on you. You know, whether you believe it or not, there's someone out there that needs something that you're doing. And, you know, I always say that our maintenance people are just as important as the CEO of the organization and the difference that they make. So absolutely. I mean, I think we have to look at that way, is that there is someone depending on you to move forward in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I love that. Just that you're part of a larger whole, or what we do has that ripple effect in that larger kingdom view. So good. So good. So today, and just to give a little backstory, so Julie grew up in Midwest, but now lives in California. Did I get that right? Did I remember that?
I grew up in California, but in the Central Valley, which is similar to the Midwest.
Okay.
Lots of farms.
I was thinking you were like in, I don't know why I thought you were like in Wisconsin or Minnesota or something. So I got that wrong. But okay, so you moved to California, live in one of the most beautiful parts of California now, and you were a professional volleyball player.
I played in college and then went overseas with a group that was actually like, we were doing exhibition games, and then I got the opportunity to try out for some professional teams there and play with them, and that was really wonderful and exciting. And of course, it was a time before we had cell phones and mail was great, and so I could only, you know, I'd send a note home, it'd take a month to get to the family, or I'd have to try and call them on a collect phone from international cities. It was lots of fun, but my family definitely missed me. And so I headed back to San Diego, which is where I've been for the last 20 years. And then, of course, I ended up doing what athletes do when they don't know what to do. We coach.
Yeah.
And that's started out coaching, ended up in academia. And of course, eventually ended up, you know, having all these companies because I'm just a passionate entrepreneur through and through. But yeah, it was a wonderful and interesting journey. And despite how much I try and get out of volleyball, I am still coaching a club team right now for my daughters. So
I love it. Lots
of fun. And I just make the joke that once I can't beat the high schoolers anymore, then I'll stop coaching.
I doubt that. You'll find someone else to coach. You have too much to give. But you're also very, very philanthropist minded. You also give back in other ways and are a part of some other organizations that are really making a much bigger global impact and doing some amazing things. I don't know that if we can talk about them or not, but you have this bigger mentality of it's not just about me. It's not just about my business, my family. It's really about this greater ripple effect, this greater impact. I think that's what I've seen from both you and Jason on the Strategic Advisor Board and Shelby and the others. It's really this pay it forward, build it forward philosophy of business. And, you know, Jason comes from a military background. Yours is athletic. So it's this driven, very disciplined mindset that I really admire. And even though I came from, you know, athletics and dancing and stuff, I don't have that. And I feel like that's a skill that's just, I don't know, I really admire that. But for someone that doesn't have this really driven mindset, I'm much more observed from a high level and I've got all of these viewpoints and have all of these ideas, but I don't have the drive to go hit the ground and make things happen. What would you advise someone like me that has these ideas, that wants to be a part of something bigger, but doesn't have maybe the engine to make it happen? Mm-hmm. How do we still have that greater impact? What would you suggest?
Yeah.
You can use me as an example since you know kind of my story.
No, great question. And in all honesty, because my husband reminds me of this a lot, he says, not everyone runs at the level that you run at or at the speed mm-hmm. you run at. So you have to remember that.
And, yeah, because you are amazing. Like the speed at which you do stuff. And I'm just like, what? She's already wrapped up that project and now she's on this one. I'm just like blown away. It's amazing.
Well, so I think, you know, what I try and get people to do is dip their toe in the pond, right? Like you've got to stick your toe in somewhere. And sometimes, and this is how, you know, sometimes I've stuck my toe, my foot, my whole leg, I've jumped in all the way.
Yeah.
And it completely fails. Or I'm like, oh my God, that was like a total flop. That was, you know, it looks so good, right?
Yeah.
And then I've, same thing, dipped my toe, kind of stepped in, said, let's go for it. And it turned out to be amazing. And so, you know, I think one of the biggest things is we've got to get past a little bit of our fear factor, right? Of like, I don't know if I should do that or not. What will happen? Yeah. How will that, you know, I'm very strategic when it comes to risk taking. And sometimes that's hurt me because it's like, I want to jump in and then I'm like, oh, I don't know. And so I've really had to push myself to be more out there and make it happen. And also I think, you know, it's best said, if you never try, you'll never know, right? And so I suggest too, sometimes to align yourself with people who do have the engine, right? So Jason and I do a lot of stuff together. I align myself with a lot of different groups. When I see that they, you know, Show Her the Money is a great example. So Catherine Gray did the documentary Show Her the Money. It's educating women on VC funding. I was like, gosh, like, how can I support this? So I went to her and said, listen, I'm not a VC funder. And I don't know how, I should know better, but I don't play in that area a lot, but like, how can I be part of this? Well, they allowed us to, you know, not only do some events with them, she came to a She Talks and spoke for us. And then we did an online whole event for her. So it allowed me to be part of that world, but I didn't have the whole, as you call it, engine to do it, but she did.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with aligning with some people who do and say, listen, I don't have that, you know, all that to make it happen, but could I come along? Because more than often when I do stuff and someone says, listen, I really want to be part of this, I'm like, let's go. Because I'm always like, I need people, right? And so, and I need people who want to do it, right? I've learned a long time ago that if I beg people to do it and they don't want to do it, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah.
So, and you see this probably a lot, Karen, with me. I partner with so many people because if someone has the want and drive, and I have the ability to make it happen, we put our superpowers together. And we've done this on, you know, magazines and documentaries and other stuff like that. And we figured out, I mean, thankfully I've spent, you know, 20 plus years building a really strong network of people. And I built that through me just giving to them. And in turn, they're, you know, always willing to give back or connect. And I feel like that's a great superpower to have. And so if you're not sure, jump in with a group that's doing it. You can always play in the background a little bit and move yourself forward and forward. And, you know, I've had some epic failures in my life. I have. I mean, I think
were those some of your biggest lessons, though?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And trust me, I definitely have had some lessons where I'm licking my wounds and I'm having a pity party. And, you know, I've had a friend go Julie, pull it together. You're going to be fine. In fact, Jason's one of those friends. I've definitely had him one time call me and say, you're fine. And I needed someone to say to me, You're fine. It's okay. Yeah. And it was like, okay, you're right. Like total epic failure, but move forward. But yeah, I mean, I definitely had some fear for a while, but I just realized that I feel like life is better and life is more fun when we take a chance on things and go for it. And, you know, that's how I've ended up doing, like you mentioned, some of the projects and things is I've always had the philosophy like, listen, if I can learn it, I'll do it. You know, if you can teach me, I'll do it. Right. And so I'll say yes. And sometimes be like, I got to figure this out. Figure it out. And I do. Yeah, or, you know, yeah. So, but, you know, like you're mentioning, just finding that there's so many great people out there you can partner with. And once you partner with them, then it's like, you know, Catherine Gray and I just have such high regard for her because she was just so willing to like jump in with She Talks and jump in with me and partner it and do these things. And it was like, wow, like you just brought me into the fold. And then we just started helping each other out, you know? And so I think that's what you got to do. And some people may say, no, that's right. They might, I've had someone be like, I don't do partnerships. Okay, no problem. You know, that's how probably some of the greatest things that happened is when someone just kind of covered their eyes and went, let's go for it.
I love that so much. Well, thank you for that inspiration. And yes, I love collaborations. I don't really like doing a whole lot of things solo because I love bouncing ideas. I love working with people. So that's a great reminder to use that part of me to offer and give, find out where I can give first. I think is always the best way, right? Rather than an ask, it's always a give, that go-giver mentality. But yeah, so good. Any final words for our Rock Mover community? Anything that you have going on that they need to know about? Because you always have something.
We do. Well, I mean, we have our Lean Power She Talks group, and we have several events loading for the spring. We have March 1st. We're going to be doing a big event here in San Diego, and we've got an event building out in April in Denver, and we've got another event, hopefully in February, will hopefully be in Pasadena. And I think we've got more. So if you go to Lean Empower Her and you hit events, there's local events, there's webinars, and there's all that good stuff that you can check out. So, and so many women doing so many amazing things, so many partners. So we'd love for you to check that out. And then you can always go to drjulieducharme.com, and that shows you all the places I'm speaking, the events going on, all kinds of fun stuff there. And same thing, I'm excited. I'm partnering with Chuki Okobi, former Pittsburgh NFL athlete and Super Bowl winner. We're doing a very cool program called Beach Bum Millionaire Masterminds, focusing on mindset. So that's going to be super fun. But yeah, just those two sites are great sites to go to. Of course, I do the She's CEO podcast, which we need to have you on, Karen, and do that one. But that one's a great one that's going on as well. So yeah, and hit me up on any of the socials. If I don't see it, my team will, and they'll get me the message.
Absolutely. And Julie and I are talking about trying to bring a She Talks to the Dallas area.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to make that happen too. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your heart, for all you do, and just the difference that you're making in the world. The ripples that you're creating will go on through eternity. You will never know all the things that you're doing and how they are affecting people's lives, people that you don't know. Because you've affected somebody that's affected somebody that's affected somebody. So I count myself very blessed to be one of those people. So thank you so much, Julie. And Rock Movers, we are so glad you joined in. We know that you're facing challenges. You're moving some big rocks. But this is just another reminder that no matter what you're doing, you don't have to do it alone. There are people like Dr. Julie out there to help you move those rocks. So make sure you connect with her, follow her, and tap into all of the amazing things that she's doing with the She Talks world. So until next time, we will see you and keep moving those rocks. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course. Short 5 module. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world, and I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.